Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. On today's episode, I have the pleasure of bringing back Erin Helley. Erin is a real estate investor and is the founder of BC Global Investments. She also has a real estate license in Tennessee. And on last week's episode, Erin was phenomenal. She talked about a strategy called military house hacking. You really need to go back and listen to that episode. It was phenomenal. If you're not in military, it doesn't matter. The principles and the tips she lays out and the examples she gives will help catapult you and your financial independence journey by light years. So go back, listen to it, have a pen and paper, like ready to go. She tells you how essentially you can get your first investment with low money down and somewhat, I mean, everything obviously has risk, but I really consider this a low risk entry into the real estate world. So it's really, really great. Go listen to it. Before we bring back Erin on, though, I did mention the last episode I want to share with you again. I put together a guide for you called The 19 Tips for Navigating Money in Your Relationship. It's a free resource. Just go to investormama.com and on the homepage, you can access it. So again, just go to investormama.com and it's right on the homepage. So now today's episode is a mom on the go episode. These are short mini episodes, usually about 10 to 15 minutes long, and they're a way to get great content for you if you don't have time to listen to a full 45 minute to an hour episode. So without further ado, Erin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Great. So the first question I usually like to ask is, how do you balance your work life and your family?
Oh gosh, I hate when people ask me this because I feel like such an imposter when I give other people advice on this because it's a struggle every single day. And so when people ask me what I do, it's so hard because giving people advice and then actually following that advice can be really hard. But for me, so I am not afraid to outsource things. I pay for somebody to clean my house, I pay for somebody to watch my kids, and when I have somebody watch my kids, I make sure that they know that I'm expecting them to interact with my children the whole time. I'm not going to be there. I want them to interact with them. And then when I do have that childcare time, I crush my to-do list. I just put my head down and work really hard. That way I'm feeling fulfilled, you know, professionally and personally. And so then when I'm done and the nanny goes home, I am able to truly enjoy and focus on my kids. I think that in today's world, we're sometimes made to feel guilty for wanting to pursue things outside of the home or outside of the family. And I think some women are meant to be stay-at-home moms and others are not. And there's nothing wrong with either way. But if you're somebody who needs to do something else, then do it and don't feel bad about it. Just set your boundaries.
Yeah, and you're a real estate agent, you own a business, a coaching business, you are flipping two houses currently, and you own 17 doors. So you have a lot on your plate.
Yes. Yes, I do. And when you point it out, it's almost overwhelming to me.
And you have two young daughters.
Yep, a three-year-old and a one-year-old. But I think it's just setting up systems. It's getting people to work for you, the right people, because if you hire the wrong people, I recently partnered with a person who we just do not work well together, and he just doesn't see anything through. And so I have to do my side, and then I also have to do all of his stuff too, which is just not what I agreed on from the beginning. And so it ended up taking twice the amount of time. And I just say that because you need to make sure that you have the right support around you and that you set up these systems that you need. Whether if you can't afford to pay $18 an hour, which is the going rate for a babysitter out here in California, don't necessarily do it, but don't hesitate to ask the 12-year-old girl down the street to watch her kids downstairs while you do something upstairs and give her $5 an hour, or maybe pay her in a way that's not monetary, or swap with your neighbor. Like, but you have to set yourself up and you have to be willing to make an investment in yourself. Like, no, businesses aren't launched without some sort of investment, or things don't succeed without some sort of sacrifice. And I think you just have to be willing to figure out what those things are and then make sure that you strike a balance. You can't let one thing take over the rest of it.
You said something very interesting about that you want to make sure when you hire your nanny that you expect to pay them, that they're engaged with your kids at all times. How do you monitor that, or how do you make sure that that's actually happening, especially now with cell phones and everything else these days? Are you just trusting the nanny to do a good job?
No, you don't trust them. So I say that because going through the interview process, there's no way you're going to figure out exactly who that person is. And once your kids are able to talk, that helps a lot. But I hired a very, very bad nanny one time, and my daughter had just started to talk, and she told me every single day, she'd say, she's a bad guy. And that was about as much as she could tell me. But I have nanny cams all over my house, and I also work from home, so it's easy for me to do it. But one of the first things I tell nannies in an interview or babysitters in an interview is, I have nanny cams everywhere, and I will be watching you, and I will be involved in my kid's day. And I don't think that that's unreasonable at all, because at the end of the day, they work for me, and they're taking care of my most valuable asset. And you better bet that I'm going to be keeping tabs on you. I'm going to be watching you, because any other place you work, even if you work at a grocery store, your boss has eyes on you all the time.
Yeah, that's a very fair point.
Yeah, what I've learned is you have to be upfront and honest about this stuff. I'm a very type A person. I'm a very demanding person, and I want to make sure that every person that works for me understands that and is okay with that. I'm understanding and I'm reasonable, but I have high expectations for everybody in my life. And a lot of people don't handle that very well. So it's just important that you lay these kinds of things out going into any relationship, really.
Yeah, I feel like as long as you're upfront and honest, then it's fair game.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, when you are with your daughters, what strategies do you use to be present with them?
Oh my gosh. So something I recently implemented is I only check my phone for the last 5 minutes of every hour. So I have my Garmin watch that gives me all my notifications. So if a call comes in that I have to answer, I'll answer it. But I don't respond to text or a Facebook message or whatever, unless it's 55 to the end of that, to the top of the hour. And then otherwise, all that stuff can wait until they go to bed.
That's great. Yeah, I'm still trying to navigate the phone. And one of my next step to eliminate the distraction of it is to do what you do with getting a Fitbit or watch, something so that this way I don't feel like the constant need to look at my phone. If I know that the watch will trigger, if there's really that important of a message, I can quickly look there. And if not, everything else can wait. But it's so hard.
Yeah. And I feel like we have this expectation that we need to be reachable all the time. And when you really think about it, it's kind of ridiculous. So I think putting those boundaries in place just sort of tells your mind, your brain, that this is really not that important. And also what I've learned too is if you make yourself out to be that available, people are going to take advantage of that.
That's a very good point.
So you need to let them know what's a priority.
Yeah. Well, I know your daughters are young, but I'm just curious if you've already started teaching them any financial principles, or if you're engaging them in real estate. Again, I know 1 in 3 is super young, but what are you doing with your kids even at this age?
Yeah. So my 3-year-old, she likes money. She likes the dollar bill and the quarter and stuff like that. And we try to, at this point, if she wants something, we'll give her the money and have her pay for it. And that's really the extent of it. And just sort of talking to her about, like, when she says, I want something, I just explain it to her. You don't always get what you want, and this is why. And so, yeah, that's about as far as we've gotten, but we definitely plan to instill in our kids the budgeting mindset. And we have a Disney timeshare. And so that's a big thing we do as a family, is go to Disney. And we don't really do much for Christmas and birthdays. We aren't huge gift givers or anything like that. But what we plan to do, and what we've kind of done already, is we'll give them a gift card, a Disney gift card for Christmas, and then they can buy whatever they want on the cruise ship or at Disneyland. And obviously that doesn't mean much now, but we definitely plan to implement that down the road.
That's great. Have you found that the timeshare is worth it for Disney?
For us, it's definitely worth it. You can totally play out the math. For us, it will pay itself off in 7.5 years. And then all we have to pay for at that point are the dues. And then it's a 30-year deed. So it works for us and it makes sense for us. But if you're not going to use it and not be committed to it, it's probably not going to be a good investment.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, what do you struggle with most as being a mom and trying to optimize your journey to actually reach financial independence?
I think for me, it's just hard to turn my brain off. When I set a goal, it's just hard for me to not move toward that every single day. And so when my kids get sick or we just, like even when we're on vacation, it's just hard for me to turn my brain off. And I want to like jump on that to-do list and get something done. That is absolutely my struggle. I meditate. I'm not very good at it, but it helps. But yeah, that's it for me. It's just, I want so much and I want it right now. And trying to balance that with the life I want to lead is, that's the challenge.
Well, Erin, thank you so much for coming on to today's episode. How can my listeners connect with you?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook. My Facebook name is just Erin Helley. It's at The Erin Helley, and the same with Instagram, The Erin Helley. And then bcglobalinvestments.com is my website, and BC Global Investments is my YouTube channel, which has a whole bunch of training, real estate investing education, and I'm constantly adding to that. So it'll just continue to be valuable.
Great. Well, Erin, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up another amazing Investor Mama episode. Erin was really great and super helpful in dropping her tips on how she does it all as a mom, a real estate investor, a business owner, you name it, she's doing it all. And so it was really cool to hear some of her tips and strategies on how she makes it all work. And again, just as a reminder, as I mentioned earlier on today's episode, I put together that free resource guide for you, 90 tips on navigating money in your relationship. Go to investormama.com and you can access it on the homepage. So definitely go check that out. And if you haven't already, if you wouldn't mind, take 2 seconds out of your day and go to Apple Podcasts. I'll put a link in the show notes. And if you wouldn't mind leaving me a rating or a review, but even if you don't have time for a review, but can just leave me a rating, I would so appreciate that. It really, really helps let the providers know that you're finding value from my content. So if you wouldn't mind, just scroll down on Apple Podcasts and select the star level that you think I deserve, and that would be so extremely helpful. Thank you in advance. I really appreciate it. This is Investor Mama. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.